Radio Prague News.
The police president says Finance Minister Kalousek personally lobbied him over the CASA investigation. The Prime Minister calls a vote to strip former Defence Minister and MP Vlasta Parkanova of immunity the only logical step, and a former regional operation programme head is sentenced to 7.5 years in prison for corruption. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek spoke with Petr Lassy, president of the Czech Police Service, about the ongoing corruption investigation related to CASA military plane purchases in 2009. So claimed Petr Lassy on Thursday at a meeting of a parliamentary committee on security, saying that Kalousek had called him personally 3 times on July the 4th to complain about the police investigation related to colleague Vlasta Parkanova. Lassy also claimed that the finance minister issued threats for which he subsequently apologised. Recently, Prime Minister Petr Nečas warned his colleagues that efforts by politicians to interfere in public investigations will be treated by him as a sacking offence. Mr. Kalousek is already under fire for alleged lobbying of the police over their investigation of former Defence Minister Vlasta Parkanova. And Prime Minister Nečas called a decision on Wednesday by fellow MPs to strip former Defence Minister Vlasta Parkanova of her immunity, opening the way for prosecution, the only logical step. He also called on organs investigating Parkanova, who is suspected of abuse of public office and a breach of trust in connection with a questionable 3.5 billion crown purchase of CASA military transport planes while she served as Defence Minister in 2009, to carry out their duties effectively and in an impartial manner. But the PM also expressed concerns at the police service with regards to their investigation of Parkanova, saying that their methodology has left many unanswered questions. The motion to strip Parkanova of immunity was supported by 117 of the 176 MPs present, with 45 against. The PM was among those who voted for it. Ms. Parkanova has denied any wrongdoing. Since 1993, 18 MPs have been stripped of immunity at the request of the police, with the current parliament having given up a record 5. Petr Kušnierz, the former head of the Northwest Regional Operational Programme, was jailed for 7.5 years on Thursday by a court in the city of Ústí nad Labem. In addition to the sentence, Kušnierz was also fined £250,000 for corruption. Specifically, the ROP head was charged with seeking bribes of at least 1.7 million crowns per EU grant applicant. 3 accomplices of Kušnierz, as well as 3 grant applicants, were also found guilty of wrongdoing. The entire case began with a March 2011 raid on the ROP premises by the country's Organised Crime Detection Unit. The Czech government has approved a bipartisan proposal to rid legislators of lifelong immunity for prosecution for crimes committed while in office. The proposal is sponsored by Civic Democrat Lower House Chair Miroslava Němcová and her deputy Social Democrat Lubomír Zaurálek, as well as fellow deputy chair Vlasta Parkanová. The most recent attempt to amend the status of Czech politicians was rejected by the Senate in May of this year, after having been approved by the lower house. However, analysts say that this was more down to the absence of a large number of senators during that vote. The Senate is currently considering 2 similar sets of legislation dealing with immunity. A Civic Democrat plan that would only preserve immunity for parliamentary votes and speeches, and a Social Democrat plan for the complete ditching of immunity. The Senate is due to take up this issue later this month. Tram services have resumed along Prague's Evropská Street following an incident last Sunday in which part of the carriageway collapsed, creating a several metre wide crater. Presently, the resumed tram service will skip the station Hořoměřická, closest to the site of the incident, while a nearby bus station has been temporarily relocated. Initial speculation on the cause of the cave-in focused on work to extend the A-line of the Prague metro towards the city's main airport. However, experts soon dismissed this theory, instead speculating that recent strong rains had exposed caverns underneath the street. Road traffic is set to resume along Evropská on Friday around noon, according to local authorities. And now a quick look at the weather. Partially cloud weather will give way to some showers later in the day. Temperatures will be a relatively refreshing 20 degrees Celsius on average, with cooler weather to the west of the country as low as 16 degrees Celsius. And that's the news for now.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, as another deputy is stripped of her parliamentary immunity, there is ongoing debate over the need to change the respective legislation, which now offers lifelong protection. And with a fortnight to go to the Summer Olympics, the Czech Embassy in London prepares for Czech fans and visitors. In Panorama, we'll tell you which Prague metro station has just closed down for 2 years, and we'll end the show with another Czech lesson as usual. So do please stay with us. Parliament on Wednesday voted to revoke the immunity of its deputy chairwoman Vlasta Parkanová, who police suspect of having made a highly disadvantageous military purchase when she was defence minister in 2009. While the case has been a matter of huge debate in recent weeks, the fact that the current lower house has now given up more of its members than any other has led to a broader discussion on whether parliamentary immunity serves any useful purpose. Christian Falvey has the story.
The details of the case of former Defense Minister Vlasta Parkanová have been pored over by the press, politicians and various legal institutes and assessors for weeks now, as the Chamber of Deputies prepared to decide whether to give up one of their leading members for prosecution. Prime Minister Petr Nečas had the following to say on Wednesday when the vote was made to grant the police request.
Vydání paní poslankyně Parkanové není překvapivý krok podle mého názoru.
The release of MP Parkanová was not a surprise. In my opinion, it was logical and I considered it the only possible step, especially in a situation where not all of the steps and claims of the police are substantiated. For example, blaming Ms. Parkanová for a measure taken by the Defense Ministry at the end of 2009 when she obviously left her position as a minister in May, which the investigators were apparently unable to find out even after 2 years of investigation. At the very least, that raises questions about the professionalism of the police in this case. On the other hand, the only ones qualified to make that assessment are the state prosecutors and an independent court. There was no other decision but to revoke her immunity for that reason.
In a parliament where 5 MPs have been given up for prosecution in the last 2 years, the institution of immunity is itself now on trial, as major charges of corruption involving top politicians from Vít Bárta to David Rath left their colleagues with little choice but to surrender them, willingly or unwillingly. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek, who has been uncompromising in his defense of Parkanová over the last month, may have only been making threats when he addressed the House before the vote, but called for immunity to be abolished as such.
Protože svým dnešním hlasováním zrušíte imunitu de facto, tak dobrá.
Since in voting to give up Ms. Parkanová today you are effectively cancelling immunity altogether, then okay, I'll accept that and we can even cancel it legally. In the coming days I will submit a bill for the complete abolition of parliamentary felony and misdemeanor immunity. In debating that, we will at least be able to see the difference between those who no longer want immunity and those who are able to outwardly support objectively false accusations while quietly wanting immunity for themselves.
According to the Czech constitution, no member of either house of parliament can be prosecuted without the consent of the house in which they serve. If the house refuses, then the member can never be prosecuted on the charge. As Petr Hartmann of Czech Radio 6 pointed out in an opinion piece on Thursday, the Institute of Immunity was not established to protect parliamentarians from criminal investigation. In part, it is meant to keep them from being attacked for their votes and speeches in Parliament, and otherwise allows them to avoid charges of misdemeanors if they feel they are being persecuted for their political engagements, in which case their misdemeanors are dealt with by the relevant committee. On the evening of the Parkanová vote, the lower house also approved a measure to limit parliamentary immunity at least to the term of office. That proposal has come and gone without success several times already, most recently being shot down by the opposition-controlled Senate. The current bill, though similar, has received bipartisan support, even that of Vlasta Parkanová.
Christian Falvey with that report. Now, with just a fortnight to the start of the 2012 Summer Olympics in London, the Czech Olympic Committee, as well as the Czech Embassy in the British capital, are gearing up for the event. The base for Czech sports fans and visitors to the Games will be the Czech House, located in the borough of Islington, which will open on Friday, July the 27th. Jan Richter spoke to the Czech ambassador to the United Kingdom, Michal Žantovský, and asked him about the preparations.
Well, I believe we are ready. We've had 2 years to get ready. We have gone through a number of briefings and conferences, and we have closely worked together with the Czech Olympic Committee and with the local organizing committee of the Olympic Games. So I believe we are ready to provide all the support and assistance both to our athletes, our visitors from the Czech Republic, and top officials of the state and the government who will be visiting London.
You said that the center of Czech life in Olympic London will be Czech House in Islington. What can visitors see there, and what can foreign visitors perhaps interested in visiting the Czech Republic see there?
It will be rather a grand occasion. There will be all kinds of shows, concerts, discotheques, there will be exhibitions, there will be representative stands of big Czech companies. Of course, there will be Czech culinary arts and Czech beer available to both the Czech and British and international visitors. There will be a virtual studio in which works of art will be exhibited in a digital form, and many other things. And of course, there will also be the top Czech athletes visiting the house every day, especially those who will win medals and who will want to celebrate them with their fans.
President Václav Klaus will open the Czech House on the beginning of the Olympics. Who else is coming?
We expect the president, of course, at the opening of the Games, and several ministers of the government, Minister for Education, Youth and Sports, Minister of Industry and Trade, and I believe Minister of Defense.
You're more a man of letters yourself, but are you planning to visit any particular sporting events during the Olympics?
Well, yes, I will be visiting a few. Part of it will be my official duties, but there are also men of letters or not. I'm an avid tennis fan, and I like sports in general, so I hope that I will have a chance to see the tennis competition and maybe a few others.
The Czech ambassador to the United Kingdom, Michal Žantovský, speaking there to Jan Richter on a brief visit to Prague this week. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature, Panorama, with yours truly. On Tuesday this week, Prague's Národní třída metro station, one of the busiest in the city centre, closed its doors to the public for 2 long years. The closure is due to a large developer's project in the close vicinity of the station, where work has already started on a 4-storey administrative and shopping centre. The decision to close the station for 2 years will impact some 21,000 people who use the transport node daily. Miroslav Vančura from the Centre for Transport Planning and Research admits that the closure will be an inconvenience.
Tak ta situace skutečně není příliš příznivá.
Admittedly, the situation is not ideal in view of public transport services in the area. This is a busy node that covers a large area of the Vltava embankment with the much visited National Theatre and is also used by people heading for the lesser town via Betlemské náměstí. On the other hand, I should say that the area is well covered by trams and that the nearest metro station, Můstek, is just a stone's throw away, around 150 metres at the most.
současného výstupu ve stanici Národní.
For those who want to avoid the rush hour traffic jam, sprinting to the nearest metro station may sound like a sensible option. Unfortunately, it is not a solution one can recommend to wheelchair users or people with mobility problems. They will be hard hit by this closure and air their dissatisfaction with the decision by staging a mock funeral ceremony at Národní třída on Tuesday to say their last goodbye to one of the few stations with barrier-free access on the Prague B line. The protest was organized by the NGO Assistence, which helps people with disabilities, and was attended by several people in wheelchairs who use the station on a daily basis. Erik Čupera from Assistence explained what was going on.
We are here to lay flowers and light candles outside the metro lift, which provides barrier-free access. You can see that there is already a makeshift coffin for the departed. When the station closes, we will walk to one of the two other remaining stations with barrier-free access on the B line, bypassing those that do not serve wheelchair-bound users. And at each stop, we will say a few words while our friend, Michal here, plays a funeral dirge on the violoncello.
While the mock funeral ceremony for the metro station, which some attended in mourning dress, occasionally raised a smile from passers-by, the issue at stake is no laughing matter for those it concerns. Karolina is a wheelchair-bound student who used the Národní třída metro station daily, surfacing just a short distance from the pedagogical faculty where she attends classes. Its closure means that she will have to disembark at Florence station instead, leaving her to cover the 2 kilometer distance to her faculty in her wheelchair. I have classes just around the corner, so the closure of this station will hit me hard. Of course, I understand that construction work needs to take place around the city centre, but the problem is that there are so few stations with barrier-free access that the closure of any of them is a severe blow. Making the trip from Florence to my faculty several times a week will use up a great deal of my time, which could have been put to better use. Erik Čupera from the NGO Assistence says the Prague Transport Company is neglecting its duty here and has done miserably little to extend the network of barrier-free access stations in town.
This is a really serious problem because there are only 4 metro stations with barrier-free access in the centre of Prague, and thus any closure has a big impact. You must admit that 23 stops without barrier-free access is not a tenable situation in the long term, certainly not for a modern European city in the 21st century. If you look at Vienna, you will see that its entire metro network has barrier-free access, and other European cities are following the same policy. Here, politicians just pay lip service to the issue in the run-up to elections, but once they get elected, their enthusiasm for barrier-free access wanes very quickly.
So why have city councillors and the city's transport authority been sleeping on the job in this respect? Jan Heroudek from Prague City Hall says the implication that councillors do not consider the needs of disabled people important is unfair.
Prague City Hall and the Transport Authority have long tried to arrange barrier-free access to the Mustek metro station in the heart of Prague, and everything pointed to the fact that by the time Národní třída closed, Mustek would have barrier-free access. The agreements with the developer were signed in good faith that this would be the case, but then talks with the owner of the property where the lifts were to have surfaced broke down and things have become complicated. People forget that this metro was built under communism, quote, for the working people, as they said then. No one thought about the needs of disabled people, and for us today it is often difficult to find an acceptable solution technically, and when we do we have to persuade the owner of the respective property to agree to it.
In all fairness, one must say that stations on the suburbs and those built after the fall of communism have barrier-free access as a rule. But Erik Cipera says this is simply not good enough.
Not
even the City Transport Authority uses that excuse nowadays. Where there's a will, there's a way, as they say, and we know that there is a solution to providing barrier-free access at each and every station if only someone tried hard enough to find it. I would say that if City Hall could find a way to build Blanka, a massive 6.3-kilometre tunnel under Prague, linking Holešovice and Hradčany, then it shouldn't be hard to build an elevator. It's a question of priorities.
Těmito argumenty neoháněl, když byl prosazen tunel Blanka.
Miroslav Vančura from the Centre for Transport Planning and Research says that either way, mistakes were made in planning.
Firstly, the two-year closure is way too long. And then, frankly, the elevators at Národní třída were installed in May of this year. For 2 years now, it will be a dead investment. Such plans are made long in advance, and they must have known about the construction work in the pipeline. So if they were investing approximately 100 million crowns into giving a station barrier-free access, it would have made more sense to install it at the Ipe Pavlova or Náměstí Republiky stations, rather than installing it there and then closing it down for 2 years.
Bylo by to určitě lepší, než nechat ten výtah 2 roky stát.
Well, trains on the B line are now zooming through the station, and in line with Murphy's laws, Můstek is expected to get barrier-free access in 2014, around the time Národní třída reopens. And now, in the final part of today's program, a Czech lesson from Pavla Horáková's popular ABC series, which we are currently rebroadcasting.
Welcome to Radio Prague's own Czech language series, Czech by Numbers, which explores Czech numbers, numerals and their derivations in different contexts, as well as idioms and collocations. Today I'm joined by
Daniela Lazarová.
And this being the second lesson, we'll be looking at number two.
Dva.
If we're talking about two men, for example. The word changes its form in the feminine and neuter genders. Two women or two cars would be
dvě ženy
and
dvě auta.
The number two in the Czech language is declined according to its own rules. It is a relic of the old Slavic dual number, which has different forms than the plural. Similar grammatical rules are applied to the names of some pairs of organs or parts of the body, but that is all too specific for our little course. The actual figure two is called
dvojka.
It can mean anything from the second best mark in school, to a number two tram, to the second gear in a car, to a lateral incisor. The word
dvojka
can also be used as a short form of Prague 2, a district in which the Czech radio building is located. A double, as in a lookalike, is
dvojník,
not to be confused with
dvojče,
a twin. The plural, twins, is
dvojčata.
On the other hand, the word
dvojice
means a pair, a couple. The adjective double is
dvojitý,
as in a double whisky, please.
Dvojitou whisky, prosím.
So this is for our lesson number two. We have handled it
jedna dvě,
literally 1-2, meaning quickly and with ease, in a tick. And that is all for today's lesson. But please join us next time if you can. Until then,
nashledanou
and bye-bye.
That was another episode from Pavla Horáková's popular ABC Czech language series. And I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's program from Prague. You'll find us at radio.cz. You'll find all our programs there in text and sound, plus a lot of interesting information about the Czech Republic. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be happy to hear from you as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today. day and goodbye.